Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
God is really trying to get our attention about His love and abiding in His love and knowing Him. It was a few weeks ago that I spoke and shared a message about that there's a storm coming, and are you ready for that storm, and do you have the relationship that's necessary to make it through any storm in your life? And of course, we zeroed in on Psalm 32, verse 7, where it says that He is my hiding place in every storm. And so it doesn't matter what I'm facing in life, that I can trust Him and that He is my hiding place. So today I'm going to kind of just keep working in that direction, but I'm going to be talking about seasons of life. And I want to encourage you about this. When I start talking about this, some of you are going to go, oh no, why did I come today? I'm going to be talking about the pruning that God does sometimes in our life in order that we can go the distance with Him. Okay, and it's a tough subject. But it's a good subject, and it really is a positive message. It's not like, oh, woe is me. I want to help you, and God wants to help you, and I want the Lord to use me to be able to encourage you that you can make it through every season that you go through. And I won't be able to go through the whole message today. I'll do half today, and then, of course, next Sunday, I'll probably hand out some notes to you and have the second half of it. A lot of people have inspired me. Messages that I've heard regarding pruning and also regarding seasons. One of them is Alan Hood. I listened to a message from Alan Hood from Kansas City probably three or four times, and it just really encouraged me about going the distance and never giving up. And that's what I want to do this morning with you. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and we're going to read through 1 through 8. And being that we don't have it up on the screen, that challenges you to bring your Bibles. Please bring your Bibles or your phone Bible or, yeah, there you go. Whatever, you know, make sure you have it. But try to follow along as best as I can, best as you can. Pruning, before we read this, pruning demonstrates the true source of one's fruitfulness. Pruning demonstrates the true source of one's fruitfulness. Why would I say such a thing? Do you guys know when somebody prunes an apple tree? Can you tell when a tree has been pruned? Can you? Sure you can. Well, you should know these seasons of pruning and what God's doing in your life. But the reason that He's doing it is because He wants you to be more what? Fruitful. And if you haven't been fruitful, why would He even prune you? Get it? Why would He do it? Because He loves you and He wants you to be able to go the distance. And so when we talk about different seasons in our life, we need to be able to respond to those seasons and cooperate with God as He begins to take us through those seasons. So as you turn to John chapter 15, 1 through 8, let's read that first, and then we'll talk a little bit more. Jesus says, before I even say this, Jesus has just prepared the disciples in the 14th chapter for a day that is approaching. And He's trying to get His leadership team prepared for something that they're about ready to go through, and they don't see it coming. They have no idea it's coming. He's talking to them about all this, and they're listening. But you can tell when it happens, they weren't ready for what was necessary and what had to happen. And so Jesus, just like with us today, through the prophetic word, through the songs that were sung, He's wanting you to abide in Him, and that you don't have anything else that is not, that is a source of who you are. But Jesus is the source of who you are. God is a source of who you are. It's twofold. That His Word is a source of who you are. The relationship and the Word of God causes you and allows you to go through every season of life because you go back and you anchor in the Word. We cannot anchor in the thoughts and the ways of men and women. We have to anchor in the ways of God. And God's trying to say, listen, guys, something is really about ready to happen. And I want you to be ready. And this is how you're ready. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Now we've heard this verse many times, and many times it's spoken from a place of intimacy, abiding in the Lord, and that's true. But today I'm going to be speaking about the aspect of pruning and abiding. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. But if you abide in me and my words, there's the twofold. You abide in intimacy and you abide in his word. And you abide in my words and they abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And then I love verse 9. It says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you look back on chapter 14, and I would really encourage you to read chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 17 of John, and then I encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 12. But if you look back at chapter 14, you hear Jesus saying, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What's he saying to them? He's preparing them for a storm. Now, some of you might just zone out here, but I'm telling you, God wants you to be prepared for every season and to be able to walk through it and understand it and how it affects your life and what he's speaking to you. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Verse 19, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. He's trying to prepare them. Verse 28, you have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Verse 31, it says, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me this commandment, so do I arise. And then he says, let's go from here. So if you read that chapter, you see all this preparation for the people. Jesus is preparing his disciples for a period of coming trouble. And up to this point, listen, up to this point, they have operated in abundance and fruitfulness. They have had a great time with the Lord. And they're not ready for what's about ready to happen. Luke 10, verses 18 and 19, it says this, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Don't you like that? Isn't that awesome? That's where they were at. That's what they were doing. That's what they were living in. They were seeing all this stuff take place. And nothing, even the words of Jesus, didn't prepare them for what was about to happen. There's a storm coming, and they're not ready. The disciples, they experienced unprecedented fruitfulness. Unprecedented. People were healed. The sick were healed. People were raised from the dead. Demons were cast out. They preached to the multitudes. About 3.5 years of abundance. But in the last 6 months, listen to this. In the last 6 months, after the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus began to prepare them for the beating that he would take, the scourging that he would take, the crucifixion, and that the hour of power of darkness was about to happen on the earth. And Satan was going to enter in through Judas and begin to initiate some events that were going to unfold. All Jesus was doing in 14, 15, and 17 was he was trying to prepare them emotionally for the days ahead that were going to take place. Because he knew there was a shaking coming. The season was about ready to shift. Jesus tries to prepare them for the crucifixion. They can't see it. And listen to this. A season that was going to take place not from disobedience. And if you can grab hold of this statement. A season of obedience that demands this of them. What do I mean by that? If you are a born again believer and you know the Lord and you want to go deep in the things of God, through your obedience to the Lord, God demands of you to walk in the crucified life. Did you get that? You have no option unless you want to run. He demands it of you. Now, I believe that through your disobedience or obedience, you're going to walk in the crucified life. But just because you're obedient to the things of the Lord, that doesn't mean he pulls back his hand. He knows that the cross is at the center of all Christianity. And if you don't embrace the cross, deny yourself and pick it up, you're not going to be able to walk in the fruitfulness that God has for you. It's so key to not just get this in your head. Oh, that was cool. No, down in your spirit. See, when speaking this kind of message, people want to get up and leave. Get me out of here. I don't want to hear about that. Listen, the most encouraging thing that can be spoken to you is for you to die to yourself and come alive to all that God has for you in the Holy Spirit. That's the most encouraging thing I can do. That's the most encouraging thing we can do to each other as brothers and sisters, not to tickle each other's ears. Not to live. Do you like when people complain all the time about everything? I can't stand it. I can't stand it when I do it. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to complain about things. I want to view them from a season that God has set in my life so that I can discern and cooperate with it and I can learn from it. I can be pruned in it and I can be much more fruitful in the days ahead. That's what I want. That's what I need. And I got to tell you, even now, I feel like God's doing some pruning right now in my life. I'm going to get way ahead of myself. I feel it. I don't want to get way down the line here. But you see, sometimes, guys, gals, we judge each other. Sometimes by the level that we're at in our walk with God or how much abundance we have and how much blessing we're flowing in. And then when it comes to a pruning time and a brother and sister goes through a pruning time and you begin to suffer loss or things get pulled back and finances, whatever, all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's this judgment that rises up in us. Well, they must not. They're not walking. How do you know that? And if you are of God, then every season God will use to bring you into a deeper, intimate place with him. That's what this is about. This isn't about you just knowing a bunch of things and pointing the finger. This is about you loving God and allowing God to do whatever he needs to do to bring you into that place so that you're fruitful. Hopefully, by the end of this, you'll think, hey, pruning is a good thing. Hopefully, anyway. So seasons are shifting. Jesus has his hands full with this leadership team. All of a sudden, things were going really good. All those years of fruitfulness. They're about ready to change history. But then betrayal breaks out. The team's filled with it. That leadership team, Jesus' leadership team, they're filled with pride and betrayal. All of a sudden, competition breaks out, right? These are the same guys. Competition breaks out. Satan begins to move in the midst of them, speaks to Peter, uses Peter. James and John, listen to this. I love this one. James and John, They're about ready to go through a Samaritan village, and they don't want Jesus, and the guy's going through there, and James and John tell Jesus, why don't we just bring fire down like Elijah did and kill everybody? The same people that Jesus is dying for, they're going to kill him. Can you see how they're getting a little puffed up about who they are? And then all of a sudden, how about this? What breaks out? Who's going to sit at your left and who's going to sit at your right? Now these guys that are about ready to go through something are discussing who gets to sit in the main place with Jesus. Have no clue that crucifixion is coming, not only to Jesus, but to them. So at the Passover meal, they're still arguing over who's going to be the greatest. And their confidence that they have right in that moment about arguing, you see, it takes a little bit of confidence to argue. Their confidence is about ready to be pulled out from underneath them because they have no clue what's about ready to take place. And then in the next 3 days, they face an earth-shaking crisis. They didn't sign up for that. Even though all the scripture said what it said, how could they serve a God of love that would crucify his son? How could they do that? How could he do that? Can we believe in this God? Can we walk with them? But it was an opportune time for them to grow. You know that what the prophet said, it said, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. They fell into a place of absolute despair. So Jesus is trying again to prepare them. He shares a meal with them. And look what he does again. I want you to follow this. He identifies his betrayer. He warns Peter of his coming denial. And he shares a meal and he washes their feet. Because what? Because the storm, as I spoke a couple weeks ago, the storm of crucifixion is coming. What will they do? They're going to be tested. Remember in John 14, right at the beginning, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled in what's about ready to happen. So whatever you're going through, and I believe Roy hit it right on in the songs today, I had this overwhelming like feeling that many of you are going through things right now. And you really need to trust God in this next season that you're about ready to enter into. I believe a lot of you need to trust him in the season you're in. But you just got to abide within him and trust him and know that he will see you through it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. Jesus recognized the sincerity of faith that they had. He knew what they were going to go through, and he was trying to prepare them because everything was going to be shaken. It's a powerful chapter. Again, you guys still with me here for a little bit? Okay. Many people cannot understand the crucified life. Think of the Apostle Paul when he was Saul, and he was not going to believe that Jesus was the Messiah at all because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would not allow the Messiah, his son, to be crucified. But what did Jesus do? He stopped him in the road, and he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He stopped him and revealed himself. See, sometimes we can't understand the way God does things and how he allows things. And if we don't get in that place of trust, we get into the place of pointing the finger. And God wants us to trust and abide. Somebody does you wrong. Somebody does you wrong. Somebody takes some money from you. I'm making just a scenario. Somebody takes some money from you. They take a lot of money from you. And you know some people that could really put some pressure on them and really get them in trouble. And so you're thinking, he's going to get his, or she's going to get hers. And that's your thought. And they got it coming to them. They shouldn't have done that. What if God, what if Jesus spoke to you? Just kind of see if this would be his nature. And you would forgive them. You would pray for them, and that secretly you would send them more money. Oh. You see, Jesus is trying to get us to live without offense. Jesus is trying to us for us to live the Sermon on the Mount that David's been preaching. to bless people, to give to people. God says, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, if you abide in the vine, that means you are connected. And if you are connected, you're wasting your life if you don't live for Jesus. You're wasting your life if there is not some friction going on about you dying to self and loving God more. You're wasting your life when you have all kinds of mindsets or opinions. You're wasting your life when you live in a Christian home and things haven't really been the way they should be. And since they're not, you won't live for Jesus. For all have sinned and fall short. Everyone. God wants us to be able to be a people that never, ever give up. No matter how rough it gets, no matter what everybody thinks, you keep saying yes to the Lord. And he keeps moving you in new seasons of your life. You know what? Sometimes in these seasons, God wants to help you through these seasons. And sometimes it can be, how many of you probably in this room have had just amazing two or three instances in your life, if you're older, that have just almost crushed you and knocked you out of the game completely? Some of you younger. And you're like, that's it. And then you seek God and you can't feel him and you can't hear him. Can I tell you this? That's when you have more trust than you've ever had in your whole life. Because why? You're grafted into the vine. You may not hear him. You may not feel him. But you know, I am not retreating. I am refocusing my life on Christ. I'm not running. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to be living my sorrows. I'm going to live in my faith. And I'm going to refocus my eyes on the ways of God. Fix your eyes on him whom your faith depends. From the beginning of the race to the end, your eyes are fixed. They're there. And no one can take them away from you. How does this happen? Abiding. How does this happen? Relationship. How does this happen? Through storms and seasons where you don't give up and you say, I'm trusting you, Jesus, no matter what. No matter what a doctor says. And we've all lost loved ones probably in this place. And those are hard, hard seasons. But when we know him, we know there's a great reunion that's going to happen. We know that Jesus in John 17 said, Father, I desire to be with them and I desire for them to be where I'm at. It's never going to end when you have the eternal perspective of every season can be a blessing no matter how hard it is. God wants us to get that and understand the cross, the God of the cross. In Acts 9, 4 through 5, it says, it's talking about Paul. It says he fell down and finally said, who are you? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. In Acts 9, 15 through 16, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. Every one of you in this room, you're a chosen vessel of God's. Believe it, receive it, refocus it, and go after it. And you don't have to be on this pedestal to have people look at you. Just be the lover that you are of God. And watch what God does. And people coming up to you going, man, what's going on in your life? And then you get the awesome opportunity to tell them about him. Every opportunity we can share about him. We need the right view of this journey. There's a crisis coming in America. I said that. There's a storm coming. And it doesn't matter whether this nation goes through it or what they're going to go through. Most of us are going to go through things. And we need to trust him through it. Jesus begins to refocus the disciples upon him. And he tells them the time of trouble is coming. The spiritual lesson is trust him no matter what. The words of the book of Hebrews reminds us that even Jesus learned through the suffering of his soul, the obedience that Jesus had to suffer. And you don't hear this preached too much or spoken about. It's not a popular message. The good news, though, is if you pick up your cross daily, you don't have to be shaken to the core in every season. You can be prepared. The bad news is you will be introduced to the cross sooner or later, voluntary or involuntary, because it's at the center of Christianity. Bad news, good news. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen. So how do we cooperate with God through every season? And how do we allow the Holy Spirit to move through us and to lead us and to guide us? Of course, the disciples go on to do amazing things. And you remember Paul, you know, had a hard time believing that the Messiah would be crucified and that the Father would do that. Then who's Paul? What does he become? Galatians 2:20, Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. The very thing that he wouldn't embrace, he ends up embracing. Pretty powerful. Jesus in chapter 15 really introduces the disciples to an important aspect, and of course that is abiding in the midst of the pruning. Jesus introduces it to them. They don't see it coming, but he prepares them. Let me share this with you. This is something that I wrote down. Crucifixion reveals just how much the enemy still has in you. Nobody's throwing anything. Crucifixion reveals just how much the enemy still got you. Because God wants to refine you and help you. I'm trying to edit here a little bit. So how do you recognize if you are in a season of pruning? Stay with me here on this. A primary indicator in a season of pruning can be a loss of finances, could be a loss of possessions, could be a loss of impact, influence, position, stature, relationship, and opportunity. Did you say it again? Okay. It's going to be we'll have it on the website, right? You edit that out, you can listen to it. But pruning can bring a loss of finances, possessions, impact, influence, and I'm going to listen to him because he's pretty big. Influence, position, stature, relationship, and opportunity. I wanted to say this because this is from Alan Hood. This is so good. To be pruned is to lose the basis upon which everyone around you measures you as successful. Woo-wee! Sold! There it is. Let me read that one again. To be pruned is to lose the basis upon which everyone around you measures you as successful. Various trials diminish resources. Look at Peter. Peter, you're the rock. And look what happens to him. Peter denies him. Peter's afraid of a little girl speaking to him. He's scared. He's disillusioned. And can you imagine some of the people after Peter denied him and went back to fishing, and they probably got on him and said, man, I can't even believe you were a part of that successful business, your father's fishing business. You were doing really well, and you left and followed that guy. Nobody been there? You're doing what? Why? Because you love Jesus? As Jerry Reeder would say, let the end times roll. Let it happen. James exhorts us to be patient and endure. And as I said earlier, the pruning demands you to refocus and not to retreat. I love this scripture. It says, for you have need of endurance. This is in Hebrews 10:36-39. It says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith, But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. In 1 Peter 5:10 it says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Those are the scriptures we stay away from sometimes. But be careful, my brother and my sister in Christ. Be careful. Because when you get weary, the enemy begins to take you out and try to take you out. Be careful. He's going to come after you. And he's going to try to derail you. Nothing derails a believer quicker than the loss of vision. And you know what? When you go through seasons, be very careful about prophetically, and he would, I know, agree with me on this, trying to discern the season. Because sometimes prophetically you try to discern it. Let me ask you a question. When you have went through seasons, I'm just going to speak for myself. Sometimes I don't know what's going on in the season. I don't know if it's the devil kicking my rear. I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's God trying to get my attention. Sometimes I'm sitting there going, what is going on? What did I miss? And the Lord says, abide in me. Come back to me. Don't you retreat. You refocus. And you align your heart with my heart. And keep going. And don't give up. And that's what he's saying today. All of us come from different walks of life. I know the weather was rough. Had all kind of texts of people not being able to make it today. But here's the thing. The Lord's saying to you, and he's going to say next week and the week after, don't give up. Be who God's called you to be. Don't allow the enemy to take you out. You are an overcomer. You can be an overcomer. You will be an overcomer as you trust in him. And your branches will be fruitful. And sometimes it's going to come in the ways you don't expect it. I don't want to stop. The other day, just here, real quick. Her name's Martha. She works in the hairstylist place right next door to the office that we have down there. And I was sitting out talking to someone, having a meeting, and I happened to look, and I saw this lady walk out of the hair place, and she was weeping. And she was like, she was talking for a long time. She was weeping, her eyes, and walked away. And I looked at Martha, and Martha knows, she's cut my hair and my hairs. And I asked her, I said, what happened? And she said, she was wanting a haircut because she just didn't like the way that she was looking. And she wanted to change. And because I couldn't really do anything because her hair was just too short, it just broke her. And then she said some rough things about herself and walked away. I said, oh. I said, well, I got to look for her. Well, she went down and I didn't see her. And then about an hour and a half later, I saw Martha. I was talking to somebody, and Martha looked, and I looked at Martha, and she said, there she is. And I looked, and I took a beeline to her, you know. And I said, ma'am, I said, I couldn't help but seeing that, you know, you were weeping when you came out of the hairstylist there. And she began to share her heart with me, very tender, and started crying. And she wasn't a woman that didn't have much. She had a lot. She had a nice home, and she wasn't poor. But she said, I've been in bondage. She says, I can't even pray anymore. She says, I'll accept prayer from you, but I can't even pray anymore because I've been beaten down for so long. And I begin to pray for her. And the point is this, at any moment, our fruit can jump out and minister to people wherever we are. This is a gathering. God likes it that we gather together. But you can be fruitful if you don't give up and you trust the Lord and you keep coming hard after God. You don't retreat. You refocus and go hard after the Lord. You don't let any brother or sister, Christian or non-Christian, put you down from who God called you to be. And you stay on that track. Because every season can be a season of opportunity if you abide in the vine. And that's the message today. Why don't you stand? Well, Lord Jesus, I just want to pray over my brothers and my sisters and ask that you would strengthen them. I ask that you would refresh them as the word was spoken, that they would awaken from any slumber, that the word of God would be that twofold aspect of their life, that they would spend time with you, and if they don't know how to do it, that you'd teach them, and that you'd also give them a hunger for your word. I ask for those that have been in the faith for a long time to not grow tired and weary, but to awaken and be men and women of the word. No excuses, because your hope.
Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Desire to come out and be with you today, to worship you, and to receive the word. Now I ask, Lord, almost charge them to dwell in John 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 17. And next week, Lord, that you would open up our eyes to Hebrews chapter 12. So I just charge them with the word, Lord. And Holy Spirit, teach them and help them and reveal to them, not their agenda, not their opinion, but what you are really saying through your word. Thank you, Lord, for these beautiful people. And thank you for this day. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Go in peace. Be in the word. This Tuesday night will be a healing service at the meeting place. And you want to make sure that you come. We're going to take off the month of December. And we'll get started again in January to be announced. Should be maybe in your Engage. We do this every year. But if there's anything, make sure you come this Tuesday for the healing service. God bless you and go in peace. Be a surrendered vessel. Obedience gives you the power to live the crucified life. Obedience gives you the power to live the crucified life. In Jesus' name.
I surrender. I surrender. Cause I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. Cause I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want.